Episode 33, part 1, whenever you're ready.
3, 2, 1. Too afraid to ask, too lazy to Google. Welcome to No Idea. Yeah. I'm today's host, Johnny. Welcome, Freddie.
Hi.
Welcome, Alistair.
Hello.
To the show. Join us on a journey to find out how little we know. First, we'll discuss a topic we may or may not think we know, and then we'll go away for a week to research it. We'll then discuss our findings and hopefully learn something along the way. So, these guys don't know the topic for this week yet, but they will as soon as I say what it is, and it is... Bees!
Bees!
Bees! Oh, I could have seen that coming. No,
you could have seen that coming.
So, Johnny likes bees.
So, do you know that classic thing of when, you know... You say that you like one thing when you're a kid, and then like your mum or your grandparent buys you that thing incessantly for the next 10 years.
Next rest of your life, I still get frog stuff.
Yeah, I still like bees, to be honest. My mum once got me an apron with like bees on it. It was incredibly feminine, but I still wear it because it's a kitchen apron, so it's like it's still handy, and I still like bees.
You showed them.
Yeah, man. Enough of this toxic masculinity, right? We're gonna. Is this why you've been wearing a bee onesie this entire recording for the entire thing?
So, the reason why I went on to this is because Freddie said it's not going to be the main thing of it. It's just a little takeaway. But it was just about veganism for honey and bees, because I definitely feel like insects are like a certain point with veganism, because in the same sense of... Well, one thing, if you look into for live feeding, is that insects don't have any rights whatsoever in the zoo world. Neither do octopi, which is actually an issue because they're incredibly intelligent. But
if you've got a vertebrae, right?
Yeah, so invertebrates don't have any rights, but unfortunately, cephalopods are included in that when they shouldn't be, realistically. But that's a separate point. But for honey, from what you can remember,
Freddie... Can you explain the point a second here? Like, so the idea is that vegans won't eat honey because it's not vegan.
No, I don't know if it is vegan or not, because usually it's a case of you don't want any animal product because it's either harming the animal or it's not natural or something like that. Whereas for bees, they produce loads of honey anyway, and you're still feeding them what they need to, and you're just farming them, aren't you?
Well, I heard that one of the arguments is that, yes, we need bees, but there are actually loads and loads of species of bee, and the bee that we use to make honey, aka the honey bee, is just also, we're monoculturing stuff. Like, I'm not saying I don't eat honey, I'm just saying that that's an argument I heard, is that you just monoculture this one insect, and we need, like, a variety, and they outcompete the others.
I just love the idea that the first person ever to sort of see a honey, like a bee's nest or whatever natural one looks like, and was just like, God, these guys are hiding something delicious in there. I just... And then he went through getting all stung and everything to be like, yep, this is great.
I was like, oh, it was a wasp's nest. Ow.
Yeah.
So I guess the first thing is, do you guys know of any types of bees? Different types?
Worker, drone, queen, stripy, buzzy, walkie.
My old professor just to show you how niche you can get about the bee thing. My tutor, when I was doing my dissertation, had a poster on the wall of types of bumblebee. I just thought there was bumblebee. There's not. There's like, at least in the UK, 9 or something. One of which is a fake bumblebee. There's a fake bumblebee too that doesn't look like a bumblebee, but it looks like one but isn't. But yeah, so I know there's a bunch of bumblebees, so I don't even know how many.
You can tell he's just a man in a onesie and he's just running around.
I'm a bumblebee.
Yeah, can you tell which of us doesn't have a biology degree, by the way, based on our knowledge of bees from just that quick?
So I need to find out.
Are bees types of wasps? Are wasp bees? What's going on?
I swear that it's a type of bumblebee. It's something. I'll look up the scientific name. Some scientific name of a bumblebee reminds me of Albus Dumbledore, whatever it may be. I'll try to find it out, though.
Bombus.
Bombus Bumbledore.
I'm pretty sure it's Bombus, but again, I didn't Google it. I'm just saying I think it is.
Yeah. So other things are, as you were saying about monocultures, the bee's importance versus actual other insects, because there's such a focus to be like, bees are great pollinators, the best thing for it. I mean, wasps are also pollinators. Everyone thinks they're useless and they're not. They also eat pests. So I guess a thing to look between the importance of bees compared to other insects, I mean, you put a high priority on them because they have sweet golden nectar. that we can farm from him. But, you know, are they actually better pollinators?
They get whole
insects?
Movies made about them, mate. You know.
What, precisely.
Have you seen the Wasp movie? No, didn't think so.
No, no one would care. And then I guess that would lead on to also honeybees specifically. You know, bees are great, and but are honeybees, you know, that higher level? Also, one thing of bees and wasps, they originate from ants, I think. Am I right in that, Freddie? I'm going to be annoyed if I'm not. It's either
ants or beyond knowledge. I don't know. But I would make either, sense, maybe, because they've got, like, colonies, right? They all, like,
it's wasps or ants were first, and I can't remember which one it was.
Wait, ants came from what? That's wild.
It's one or the other. It's either wasps came from ants, or ants came from wasps.
I feel like wasps would come from ants, right? Because they're a bit more, complicated, or... I don't know. I feel like
what's so complicated about ants?
Well, they're just less. They're just like a body, two bits. Well, like some few bits of body, right? And then a couple of legs.
They're all a few bits of body. Ants have wings. Some have door heads.
Door heads.
Some have bullet heads. So
some have it of where they live in like a big wooden wood, effectively, and they'll have little holes. But
a big wooden house made of wood.
But to stop intruders,
they're called trees.
Ants within a colony, which has effectively a door, which is shaped a head, which is shaped like a door for that hole. So then, if intruders
with hinges
come, they just,
and a handle,
they effectively they just block their head into it, and so their whole life is just being a door, which is quite funny. And then going into
what is my purpose? About a bit,
you're a door.
You are a door. And then we already chatted about veganism for honey, and. Just and then go less from bees, more into honey, pros and cons. You know, there's some stuff like Manuka honey.
What's the topic here? Bees or bees and honey? And the whole thing?
Well, it's bees first and foremost, and they also make honey.
Okay.
So the last thing would be you find some pros and cons versus with honey. You know, is it all good? Is it all
I heard it's super good for you. Like really, really good for you. In terms of if you've got sore throat,
well.
And, yeah, it's like antibacterial for like sore throats and that. It is.
Have you guys heard the idea? That if you have hay fever, like you should eat local honey because it has pollen in it from the local flowers, and so you'll build up a resistance. Don't know if it's true. I just heard it.
Ooh, well, that's interesting.
Like a vaccine for
literally, kind of yeah.
Sort of yeah.
So I'm guessing it's going to be really depressing when we find out about like bees all dying out or something, right?
Yeah, insects are having a really sad time. Apparently, it's like 40 years ago. It's like a pretty outrageous. Decreasing, you know, and you can even tell just from driving around, like anecdotally, from, you know, driving around on country roads before. It's totally on Clarkson's Farm, which I watched quite recently. Would recommend if you're a fan of Jeremy Clarkson, even remotely. But yeah, somewhere, yeah, like driving around on country roads, you know, 40 years ago, it was just like a thick coating of your windscreen of insects, and now there's like barely any.
Yeah, because I've seen not just. I feel, well, we can look up for the actual thing about that as well, because I'm sure I've seen a few things saying, like, actually there is a severe decrease of general insect life for the fact of you don't see them on your car windshield as much.
Maybe they've just gotten smarter, eh?
Maybe.
They just avoid cars now.
The bees got smarter. No, we just killed them all.
So, there we go. So, I'll go over the main topics, which types of bee importance versus other insects, the honeybee specifically, veganism's for honey, and then honey's pros and cons.
Yeah, I feel like something I thought I knew more about, like they said, drones and everything makes rings a bell, and there's obviously all the different types, and obviously the queen and everything, yeah. Right? But
so
I feel like it's really similar to ants.
Males.
Do they have quite a similar thing with ants then, and that like that kind of hierarchy?
Yeah, probably similar in the sense, so you'd get, the queen is just the baby maker, you have drones, which are the males, and they're short-lived. They're just bred to produce. Everyone else is female workers. Same for ants as well. So I think they probably have a pretty similar thing, but something to look on. Ants versus
can
bees.
Can I ask a really stupid question?
Go for it. No such thing as a stupid question, only stupid answer.
Yeah. So I'm just, you made me think now about that at all. And do the bees make the honey to eat the honey, or am I just being stupid?
I totally don't know this. They must eat it a bit, right? Or they must do something with it.
They make the honey to eat. It's not like ants that make something, didn't they like make a fungus? No, they
leaf
grow the
ants.
Fungus on stuff. Yeah, like
they don't eat
the
leaf.
They
masticate
use
it.
Yeah,
grow fungus
and they use
to
it
eat.
To grow stuff. So I'm thinking, did the bees actually eat the honey they make, or they make the honey for another purpose? Or am I?
No,
it's so obvious, Freddie. Obviously, they eat the honey.
No, no, they do the honey, but so one thing
they make
like,
they make it to make clothes out of, actually.
So do you know when you classically see when you smoke out a hive, and that's the reason why you do that is because then bees think there's going to be a forest fire, so they go eat a load of honey, they get really fat and a bit sleepy. I could be wrong in this, so I'll double check it anyway.
This is right. Again, this is,
and that makes them
Clarkson's Farm was a good timing. I watched that recently because he totally gets bees as well. So yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, so apparently that's makes them more docile, so they do eat it, and then you do have different types. And I think it is usually when you do beekeeping, you'd have it of where you supplement them, especially over winter, because part of the thing for honey is you're going to be over a winter, and because if you think they've got all these flowers everywhere, suddenly over winter you've got none. So that's what the honey's for. But when you have keep bees, usually you'll give them sugar water or something that actually supplements that, because you're obviously taking the honey away.
That's interesting.
I know a bit about bees already. I like bees. Bees are good. And they're just a really nice aesthetic, you know? Anyway,
I like
so,
black and yellow, black and yellow. Yeah, so how about watch the bee movie, listen to Black and Yellow, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah, and then you'll kind of be all caught up in bees, really. I watch a bit of Doctor Who. At some point they have that as well mentioned.
Just watch all of Doctor Who. At one point they mentioned bees. So, yeah.
Yeah, on that honey shell, we'll see you in a week, and you'll see us in about 5 seconds. Bye.
Love you, bye.
Recording, so
right, yeah, ready, I'd like man. You to welcome us back to the show about bees. Well, this week at least.
So you might have said it again, but I think I just cut off the middle at the beginning of what you said.
Alistair was talking over you.
Yeah, sorry, I'm dragging him up.
Just dragging him on. Like,
give a pause, it's worth it. Just give a pause.
Just always pause, always pause.
I'd like, I'm saying,
I'd like you.
Shut up.
I'd like you to welcome us back to the show about bees. Yeah, my favourite little animal. I'll bring it all home with the definition. Bees are insects with wings, closely related to wasps and ants, known for their role in pollination, and in the case of the best known bee species, the Western honeybee, for producing honey. Yeah, and
Can I start us off with a joke?
Yeah.
My mum was saying, "Hey, Freddie, it's your podcast tonight," and I was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And she said, "What's it about?" And I said, "Bees." And she said, "Can I tell you a bee joke?" And I was like, "Oh, of course, mother. Of course, you can tell a bee joke." And it was like, John is buying some bees off Sally, and he says, "Oh, okay, can I have the bees, Sally?" And Sally goes, "Here you go." And John says, "Wait, I only asked for 12. You've given me 13." And she says, "Yeah, that's a freebie."
Hey,
I was like, "Mum, I'm putting it in. Don't you worry."
I like the preamble that this was my mum's joke, not.
Oh no! It just.
I did not read this on the back of a penguin. It was written on the back of a penguin in really tiny letters.
funny thing about bees as well. If you want to get a new hive, so you'd order a queen bee with a small swarm like come attached to it, you just send it in the post. And so I feel the postman will just get a few things that will be like a buzzing package. So what you do as well, so when they're swarming, you'd find the queen, or usually if you've got a hive, you just get the queen cells, you kill the rest of the queen cells, and then you just take that one. And then bees will just naturally follow the new queen. So then you put it in a little tube, now you've got the queen, and you'll naturally put it like by the side of the hive. You'll get a natural swarm that goes with it. You just put them in a box, sell tape it up, and then just send it to the post. And then that'll arrive to you like that. So then you do the same thing, open up the package, get a little tube, put it in what is the queen section of a hive so she can't escape, and then they'll just go nuts. It's great. That's how simple it is.
Go nuts. That's how you get honey nut cornflakes.
It actually is. What I'll do is, before we get onto anything, I'll just do little fact checks of what we went through. So the first thing was Dumbledore. I was like, Albus Dumbledore, is that anything about bees? Apparently it's the old English word for bumblebee, Dumbledore.
No way.
So that's where that comes from. And apparently J.K. Rowling used it because I read a little bit, it was something like she thought he'd be humming along while he did stuff because he liked music, so she liked the idea of calling him Dumbledore. There's no evidence.
The most powerful wizard of all time is a bumblebee.
I love it.
Plot twist. Honey doesn't help. There's no evidence to support honey helps hay fever.
Yeah, I found this. I was really sad about that.
There are less insects. So since 1850, 23 bee and flower visiting wasps have gone extinct in the UK. There's 250 UK bee species. And at the current rate, we're losing insects generally, which is about 2.5% mass of insects per year. In 100 years, we won't have any left, which is just a crazy thought. And we go for Manuka honey, which is, it's from Australia and New Zealand, and it comes from the Manuka tree. So the bees solely pollinate from the Manuka tree, nothing else, and that's why it's like that. And it's got extra antibacterial properties compared to normal honey, which is already antibacterial. And then the last thing was the honey market. So it's a global honey market of $9.21 billion in 2020. And then it's apparently the third most faked product after milk and olive oil. Up to 33% of world honey has been altered in some way. And if you really want to get excited about stuff, you can look up Honeygate, which is effectively honey laundering, where China was able to manufacture corn syrup to look like honey and obviously make it way cheaper. And we've been exploiting honeybees for about 9,000 years.
I've got so much to talk about on all those points. It's so exciting. I'll just chuck in here and then we'll see how else throws. But this was kind of interesting, I thought, because in Australia, let me scroll down through my pages of notes that I've made here. So just as a kind of just an overarching point, that there are over 16,000 known species of bees, and this is around the world. If you go just straight to Australia has 1,700 species of bee. 1,700 species of bee. One of those, like, species that's not in Australia would be the honeybee that we all know. So imagine 1,700 species, none of them are the honeybee. These are the ones that are native to Australia, and none of them are true honeys, if that makes sense. They're not true honeybees.
They ain't no true honeys. That's how they don't got different. The yummy mummy in the
yummy mummy in the tummy. And so the ones in Australia are not known as true honeybees, but they do make honey, but they make it like the bees themselves have no sting, or most of them have no sting. And sad fact is, collecting honey from Australian native bee nests causes many of the bees to drown because of the way that it's done. Because it's not in the same way, like, they don't make hives like we imagine them. They have the bees store their honey in small resinous pots which look like a bunch of grapes, and in order to extract them, lots of the bees drown. Just really sad. But the honey that they make is tangy in comparison with commercial honey taken from European honeybees. So I just thought, like, just wanted to chuck in there, like, Australia actually has completely different bees, and you might imagine that they're all stinging and killing you, but actually they're stingless, which makes
surprisingly
them honey. Yeah,
something in Australia is less deadly than the rest of the world. There you go.
Yeah. If you to bumblebees, they also, well, some obviously bumblebees are a term for, there's a lot, but some to bees, and they'll dig into the ground, and if you do similar thing, they're like little grapes with little, like, passageways between them when you to look. If you to, like, cast the hive, so to speak.
Mm. I've got a quick point on singing, actually, if it's interesting. So the bee sting thing, the classic thing about how if a bee uses its sting, then it dies, right? Is actually only true if it loses the bit of its tail that is the stinging part. So if it stings a human, normally, like, the epidermis, if it pierces the skin, then it will, then the tail will come off and it does die. But if it's going to use it for, like, stinging another insect, for example, then it can sting the insect, but because its tail stays intact, it doesn't die. So it's like one single use in a big, you know, for a human. But as you say, yeah, lots of bees don't have sting, including the ones that are sort of lonely, don't have hives and don't produce honey.
Solitary,
they're just sort of, you know, yeah,
bees.
Solitary bees is what they are.
Did you look up the thing about how, so yes, bees can sting things to death, but also bees can do this thing where there's an intruder in the nest, so all the bees jump on. I don't know if we spoke about this in the first half. I can't remember.
Yeah, they vibrate. They will heat it and kill it by
their
bodies.
They detach the wing muscles from the wings, and then they vibrate them like they're flying without using the wings, and that's how they generate loads of heat. So it's because they're vibrating the wing muscles without moving their wings, so they just start cooking. And I think it's like gets to like over 100 degrees cooking it or something mad like that.
Jesus,
incredible.
That's how you cook, honey. Yeah,
just give the bees things an intruder. So, Alcy, you said a little bit about lonely bees as well.
Yes, this is what I'm saying, sorry, with the solitary bees. So basically, they are non-aggressive. That's like the big difference between, well, a big difference between them and the regular ones, because they don't have, because obviously regular ones, the reason they do get aggressive is because they've got something to protect, right? They've got their hive to protect, whereas solitary ones don't have a hive, and they don't have the honey and everything, so they're just not, you know, as aggressive, which means they are quite safe to sort of have around, and they're obviously much better for pollinating, or they're very good for pollinating gardens and things, because they're not going to be, you know, they're going to be far less likely to sting you. Well, they're not going to sting you. So yeah, that's kind of the, I don't know, Freddie, do you have more than another thing on solitary bees? I think it's kind of, you always think of them sort of as like a sort of, you know, so like the lone wolf of the bee world.
A fun fact for honeybees, at least for I've got a little bit into beekeeping. I do have a hive which I need to do something with.
You got a bit of a bee in your bonnet about this, Johnny, sorry.
I do have a bit of a bee in my bonnet, but so they have about a radius of about 3 miles, bees from their hive. So if you have to move a hive, you need to make sure that you move it at least 3 miles away, otherwise they'll go to the wrong spot because they're able to recognize the location by landmarks. So new queen bees, they'll fly up, they'll look around, have a look where everything is, where the hive is, and then like make a little mental map, and that's where they know how to travel to places.
I can't remember if you sent us this, because if so, then obviously you know about it. But it was the thing about the experiment to figure out whether bees understand time, or if they have a concept of time. Do you see about this? So it's basically like,
please tell us.
So basically bees, excuse me, so bees, basically they hurt, this is obviously it's apparent that when you study them, they understand time because they always come back to the hive at a certain time. Yeah, but then people are like, oh well, that could be anything. It could be based on light, it could be based on this, that, you know, the movement of the earth, or, you know, who knows. And so they deal with the experiments to basically try and figure out if bees can perceive time. And so they would like did it underground, and yet they still came back at the right time. And they did it, you know, I think someone fired them into space and did all sorts of things to try and figure out whether these bees perceive time. And the way that they actually determined that they definitely perceive time is that they put them in an aeroplane and then made them get jet lag, and they were affected by jet lag, proving that they kind of therefore do perceive time in the same way that humans do. I think was the point.
But yeah. I'd love like the research, like you're having to like. So what do you want for your funding for research? Well, we need an empty plane, please, or like we need a couple of, like. Tickets.
You know, come on, tickets for a plane with, you know,
with people who are not bothered by having a swarm of bees on it.
I'll double check that one because it's a whole story thing, but it's pretty funny.
So one thing we wanted to know about was ants versus bees and kind of what came first and the evolution. So I think both of you have a bit. So Freddie, I'll go to you. What do you have a bit about the evolution?
Okay, I'll give an overarching point and then I'm sure Alistair can finish it off. So there was actually a bit of a contentious issue, it turned out, for quite a number of years, and I'm not actually sure if the research I found was the latest, so hopefully Alistair, you can tell me if I've got it wrong. But from the sounds of it, wasps were the first. Everything was wasps. And then bees and ants evolved from a certain type of wasp. There are several families of wasps that are more related to ants and or bees than there are to other types of wasps, though. That's the thing. So wasps were like a huge family, and then a bunch of those branched off and became some waspies, some ants, and some bees. There's a tree that I found that showed that like some parasitic wasps went off and did their own thing, but then bees, wasps, and other yellow jackets, I guess that's a hornet in American.
It's a wasp, right? And what we call, wait, yeah.
Is it? I don't know, but they formed off Vespoidea, whereas a bunch of other wasps went off. But there are actually so many more wasps than I realised. And that the study that I was reading suggests that when early bees switched from preying on other insects to pollen feeding, that was a kind of around the time when mammals actually offshot from other animals that existed at the time. That's when ants kind of came about, and you had these strange, ridiculously organized hives producing insects that worked as a total colony. And so you had ants and bees, and then wasps were just doing their own thing, killing whatever the hell they wanted. So, which kind of sticks with wasps are assholes, but
isn't it? So, like, wait, we don't need to keep eating living things. We can just eat be flowers vegetarian. Instead. Yeah, they went vegetarian.
Yeah, got a bit chubby, got a bit cuter, and then had movies made about them. This is, you know, this is the natural progression.
Can you
So yeah, so I can expand on that a little bit. Yeah, the main thing I got from it, well, the big thing was that the wasps, they evolved from wasps. That was kind of like, oh, I did not know that. When you Google ants versus bees, there's quite a lot to get through of ants fighting bees before you get to the differences between the two.
Who wins?
Exactly, it was a lot of that. It was this whole Reddit chain about ants versus bees. But yeah, a big difference, which is fundamental and true in all cases apparently, is that ants can and do construct main nests with satellite nests, whereas bees construct only a main nest with no satellite nests. So they don't have any. So like, you know, like an ant's, like, you might have seen this guy, he did this, he poured liquid metal into an ant's nest and then obviously took it out and it looked amazing. Probably was not very good for the ants.
You can hear their tiny screams.
But yeah. But yeah, obviously like the whole satellite, so they made like a whole sort of, you know, city almost of, you know, different like tunnels and all sorts. Whereas the bees are just like, nah, this is the nest, here it is. And, so yeah, I think that's the nest construction is a big difference. And bees are stripy and ants are not so stripy.
But in the end, ants are the most successful. Right? Ants are the, if you went with, even with honeybees being domesticated, if you take like all these insects around the world, like there's like some old joke that aliens might come down and start talking to ants first because they're like, well, you guys own the planet, right?
The most successful, aren't they?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, and it's just great the amount of like, the different niches ants have filled. You know, you can get farming ants, so obviously think of leafcutter ants, so they deliberately they'll get leaves, then they mash it up, then they grow crops of mushrooms to actually eat. Other ones they'll farm like aphids and stuff like that, where they rear them, and then they'll have the honeydew that they eat, so they start eating effectively the feces of aphids. And then you get other ones which are slaver ants. They can't feed themselves, so their only purpose is to find another colony of ants which is lesser, enslave them by getting their queen to go in, kill the other queen, smother all the pheromones on her, so then this host colony thinks the new slaver ant queen is their queen when she's not, and then they end up feeding these slaver ants because the slaver ants can't feed themselves, and it is absolutely mad.
How on earth do they that's like
how does that work? They're right, complete like parasitic.
I feel like, how did we not cover this on our aliens episode when we talk about the whole, like, you know, the great filters? Obviously the biggest filter is that there are aliens, they're just chatting to all the ants rather than chatting to us.
Can I just check in there? You've reminded me that when I was researching honey, because I thought it was really interesting, there are some bees that don't take nectar but take honeydew, as in the sweet secretion of the aphids, and they then make honey from the secretions of the aphids. Did you know this? And no. This type of honey is very dark brown with a rich fragrance of stewed fruit or fig jam, but it's not as sweet. And in Germany's Black Forest, which I wish I had known about when I was there, there's a well-known source of honeydew based honeys, and apparently some people really like it, but it's not as easy to sell worldwide because it's, even though it's sold as honey, it has a completely different flavor and people are like, what the hell is this? Ew.
Well, in China, I don't know if it's China, part of the honey laundering is they were able to make this like a syrup which either tasted like honey. Or what they did instead was they, instead of getting bees to actually go out and actively pollinate and eat nectar, they just fed them this like artificial nectar. So then you're able to make honey easier because you didn't need to have lotus flowers nearby because you're just feeding the bees like fake stuff. It's like fake pollen. So again, you can produce honey cheaper. So much stuff goes into it.
Thanks. Well, yeah, there's a funny one, speaking of like China facts, there's a thing about, so pollinating, right? And how, I think we mentioned before on the podcast as well, this whole thing about China having their going for their 0% unemployment thing, right? So they have like the most crazy jobs, that, you know, like people polishing leaves at the side of the front of a hotel, or, you know, like standing in subways and just taking your ticket and putting it into the machine for you and then taking it out the other side. They actually have people who go around with, basically, so say the pollination is undertaken by hand using paintbrushes in China because they're already having problems with the bees sort of dying out and not doing it enough. But there's literally people going around with paintbrushes and pollinating flowers in the way that bees would.
Wow.
Probably not quite as you know, summery and nice as bees, but yeah.
Yeah. So we chatted about the current use of honey. So Freddie, you've got something about the current use of honeybees is bad?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Don't make me hate bees. I think this is one of those times where I'm going to vehemently still like bees.
I know. It's not the bees' fault. That's the problem. It's the same with people's like fault. It's people's fault. It's like you can't hate cows if they go and eat a whole ecosystem just because you flatten the place and put the cows there. but that's basically what I do with bees. So basically, I was reading a post by Alison McAfee, who wrote in 2020 for the Scientific American. She is a honeybee researcher, and she was saying, basically, long story short, she actually tried to keep bees in a certain area and did some experiments, as well as some other research that she has been looking into. Honeybees destabilize natural ecosystems by competing with native bees is the first big problem, because honeybees that we have are extreme generalistic foragers. That's why they work so well for us, because they will basically just take nectar from absolutely anywhere. It doesn't matter. So they completely outcompete some bees that are native to the area. There is over a billion bees, honeybees in North America, as in US and Canada alone. That's like, how, I don't know, it's three bees per person? I don't even know. I don't know what the time is. But yeah, they have a complete monopoly on all the plants there. And the issue is not only do they outcompete everything else, but that there's also invasive species there, like weeds and stuff that are already invasive, and the honeybees just help them along. It's like, oh, cool, you need to be pollinated, no worries, bud. It's like, oh, no, don't do those ones. Oh, crap. Oh, okay, now we've got Japanese knotweed everywhere. Like, the honeybees don't take any qualms with basically pollinating absolutely everything. So that's a bit of an issue. Although, a bit of a positive note is that that's not the case everywhere. Some areas, the honeybees are outcompeted by the natives because the natives were more prepared, they're more evolved for this area. For example, in Sussex, England, there is native bumblebee that are superior competitor to lavender than the honeybees because they have a longer tongue. So there are some cases where it's like it doesn't matter so much, but overall, an extortionate use of honeybees has really not helped local areas with their plants and local insects, which is a bit sad. They did an experiment in Tenerife on the islands there to see what happens, because in Tenerife, people go there with honeybees, release them in the spring and summer, gather as much honey they can, then take the bees away for the winter and use them in other parts of the world.
Weird.
Like, so literally the whole island is like, oh my god, influx of insects, and oh my god, they've all gone again. And it's like, this has disastrous effects for the local ecosystems. Not to mention just like
humans ruining local ecosystems. I can't believe that, mate, for a second.
In America, they have it for the apple orchards and stuff like that. You've got these huge mega farms, and obviously you don't have a natural thing, and they'll cart bees around the US. So like, part of someone's whole job will be, oh, we just have bees on the back of the truck, and we'll then like shut them up, and then we go down to different like farms to then pollinate. But the problem is, I don't know, one cause for like insecticides are a big thing, and views would be like, oh, they're still spraying insecticide on the trees when the bees are pollinating it, and like, you know, you're getting loads of issues. And also having bees everywhere, which you then move across the country, is you spread disease as well. So it's another reason why you're killing them out. They just don't need to be transported, you just have bees somewhere.
The lady who did this experiment said that she tried to keep a few beehives for experiments, and she said she's never realised how difficult it was to keep them alive. She's like, they're both destructive in the sense that they're disrupting the local ecosystems, but also they would all just get ill constantly. She even had to like completely annihilate, she used euthanise, one of the hives because it got some fungus thing. And she says it's just so difficult to keep them all going. Said here, even with the boost of forage, there's sometimes not enough to go around for the honeybees, let alone the riddling of disease. So basically, we don't know what we're doing when we shove stuff into local ecosystems, and we don't care enough to actually check it out, which is why it's a big issue.
Wow, well put.
Also, we've got some Alistair, you've got a point about bees used in medicine. So you said a bit about Manuka being antibacterial. So do you have more to elaborate on that?
There was the thing, obviously, honey being very useful in terms of antibacterial, and like, yeah, for sore throats and things like that, you put in drinks and it's maybe a bit placebo with that. And give me a second.
Because I saw that, like, it says you can put it on wounds and burns, right?
Yeah,
wounds.
Wounds.
So Abby is a nurse at GP's, and one of the dressings you can do is honey dressing. Obviously, the one thing for, like, what nurses do at a GP is there are hundreds of different types of dressings and bandages, all with the different uses for how to heal you effectively. And what honey does, it's got, I think, a low pH and good amount of nitrogen. Either way, it really just stops bacteria from being able to grow for different reasons. And again, it can really help wounds, and has been significantly proven to actually increase the speed of wound healing.
Yeah, I saw one that said it's really good, strangely. Like, I mean, considering the same place I was reading about was like, no, it's not going to fix your cancer, and no, it's not going to fix your allergies. I was like, okay, fair enough. And said, but if a kid swallowed a battery, it's actually a good way of, they eat the honey first to protect the throat, and then when you try and get the battery out, it reduces the burns on the inside of the throat.
Yeah, like, burn enough. Healing was the thing. Yeah, one thing that I found. If you got a burn wound treatment, bee pollen and even the wax can even be used to treat burns. Like I said, it doesn't sound like a foolproof thing. You feel like with most of these, if they really work that way, you'd probably heard of them before. But oh yes, this probably works. Yeah. But you know,
did you hear the bad thing though? That's like it's possible for babies to get botulism.
Well, yeah, babies shouldn't eat honey. Yeah, there's the thing. Yeah.
Under one, don't give them.
Yeah, money. Under one, right? Yeah. I feel the three of us, you know that. Hopefully, Johnny.
Oh yeah, no, it's one of the few things you can't feed babies.
Do you know how many cases there've been in the UK since 1971?
No.
Of what? Sorry, of babies eating honey or of this?
Babies eating honey and getting botulism.
What is botulism?
A fungal disease, I think.
Through skin. Well, do you know the thing is, like, I know what botulism is. What's botulism? Haha, touche.
I think it's botulism. Botulism
is a very rare but life-threatening condition caused by toxins produced by Clostridium botulinum bacteria. That didn't tell me NHS.
No.
Nope.
But go on, Freddie, how many cases then since the 1950s?
1970s. In the UK, 6. Wow. But in America, like, a lot. Something like a percentage, I think, but no, the UK it's just not an issue, but in America it is.
Because we managed to pass the word around, don't give honey to less than 1 year olds.
I'm sorry that I thought botulism was that.
So you can feel sick, be sick, stomach cramps, diarrhea, or constipation. Without treatment, botulism eventually causes paralysis that spreads down the body from the head to the legs. It's a bit terrifying. That sounds not very good at all. They have a weak cry. So it's just not very good all round. Also, Freddie, you've got a point about bees as food? Honeybees as food?
Yeah, this is my last thing that I researched, really. A bit about food. The first part is that bees are considered edible insects. Don't know if you ever thought of that, but there's a lot of species of bee. So, people in some countries eat insects, including the larvae and pupae of bees, mostly the stingless species. Apparently, it's very good for you. Bee larvae are eaten as a companion to rice in Indonesia, and apparently it sounds really delicious, like good proteins and other minerals, and it's in a way that's like kind of like getting off big cattle as meat source. It's really good for protein and
other stuff. What's annoying is people think, oh, insects are really good for protein, they could actually be a good food source for us, and we can actually start like getting rid of like high meat content diets in place for insects. And people think, oh, very Western kind of idea, I don't eat insects, that's gross. But what we'd have it is like powder. So it'd be like, oh, maybe you'd add it to foods, you'd have it as like an additive. You're not just going to eat locusts, they're going to be crushed up, and you're going to have it, you could put it into different foods, like, you know, mixes or whatever, not to think you've got to eat a big spider or anything.
Yeah, it's like people who would be currently be squeamish about that, I feel like, you know, if it gets to a point where, like, you know, meat is so ludicrously expensive, and then there's this, like, insects, even if, like I said, they obviously will be in a powder form, and they'll be more palatable for the Western palate. But I feel like, yeah, it's just going to be the economies of it are going to be, it's going to be so worth it that people are just going to be like,
it's literally the difference between someone putting a fish, whole fish with eyes on your plate, giving you fish fingers.
Yeah, and you're like, exactly.
So, it's like, oh, sweet, fish fingers, love that. It's like, but if you have a whole
Freddy
fish,
dish don't even have fingers.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, that's a great example. Yeah. People will be grossed out by that, but yeah.
Yeah. Also, Alistair, mason worker bees.
So that was basically for the solitary bee stuff. They're an example of these bees. Yeah, live by themselves, and you know, they're quite cute ones. They're sort of little red critters.
Oh, nice.
It was basically just came up with the whole thing about the solitary stuff.
Which we have what I'll do is I'll have a little bit more about the honeybee, which will also be about other things. So if you get three classes of honeybee, there's the workers, the drones, and the queens. Workers are male, and they just for reproduction, nothing else, so they die out as soon as they've done the job. Did I say drones or workers?
Gonna say, not much work, is it?
Yeah, drones. So the drones are the males. All they do is they just they mate, then die. They die out in the winter, so they have nowhere to go. They've got no hive. They don't live anywhere. The worker bees, they do everything. They are the do the main job, and the queen, all they do is reproduce. And fun weird thing. So if bad weather delays the mating flight of a queen for more than 20 days, she loses the ability to mate and will only be able to lay unfertilized eggs, which results in drones. And I think that's mad. So as well, for when a queen is laying eggs, she chooses whether or not to fertilize them with the sperm that she's gathered. When they do the main flight, they'll have like they mate with like 15 to 20 different drones, and so then they choose what to fertilize or not. If they don't fertilize an egg, it comes out a drone, and if they do fertilize it, it comes out as a worker. And I think that's just mad. And kind of blows my thought about like how an unfertilized egg from a female can be a male. I wasn't really able to figure that out.
It makes you so confused because part of you thinks as insects as like weird little robots that don't know what they're doing, and then the other part's like, do they have a choice? Like, how, I don't know.
Let's get deep,
guys.
Let's get deep. Whole the aliens are talking to them, man. They're telling them what to do.
Right, but I think we'll. Has anyone got any more pressing points? If not, we'll wrap up.
I've got one quick question. So I'm sure you guys could guess that the largest producer of honey is
America
or China.
Yeah, it's China. America is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th on the list. But no, is you know, it's kind of, it's like, okay, fair, China or America, that kind of thing. They do overproduction. Can anyone give me a guess of the second?
I was thinking about India or something like that, maybe, if you're...
Nice idea.
Is it the UK? Please be the UK.
No, that would be funny. It's Turkey. Don't know why, but no, I was like, so Turkey's just a lot of bees, a lot of honey.
Yeah, considering, also, it's the same with anything, the same with, like, be interesting if it was the UK's, because just landmass compared to China...
Yeah, China can pretty much smash anything if it wants to. That's all my facts. Done.
It's pretty solid. So, to go by.
We'll wrap it up with an incredible time of any episode, which is hosted by yours truly. It's a fact of the show. So this one is, you could slightly relate it. What do you think is vertigo?
The fear of heights, right? But I'm guessing it's
like... something to do with your senses in your ear?
Yeah, so it isn't anything to do with heights. I always thought vertigo is to do with heights. But it's the sensation that you have that you or the environment is moving or spinning. So sometimes when you're at high heights, you can get vertigo because you feel like you're spinning or the environment is spinning, but it's not. So heights can induce vertigo, but it isn't caused exclusively by the fear of heights. It's just, so you could say you get vertigo if someone's really drunk, for instance.
Oh, so it's just being dizziness, kind of like
his
vertigo.
Isn't that funny?
Right. Fair play.
Yeah, yeah. Nice little fact. There you go. So that's been yours truly, myself, Jonathan. It's been Alison, and it's been Freddie. That's the show. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Bye. 33 episodes in.
Thank you for listening to No Idea Yet. If you like the show, you can always follow us on Instagram. It's No Idea Yet Podcast. And if you have any comments, information you thought we missed, or recommendations for the future, drop us an email on noideayetpodcast@gmail.com. Stay tuned every Saturday when we drop our new episodes. And thank you for listening.